Today is November 12th, 2020. Can you believe 2020 is almost over? This is episode number 537 of the Apple Context Machine. Shush you. Podcast for the Mac. And in the words of Willy Wonka, I'm Brian Chaffin, Chief Candyman. To get the full story on anything we cover in this podcast, you can visit macobserver.com/ACM. And if you would like to comment on or question anything about the show, shoot me a note over at macobserver.com/contextmachine. That'll take you straight to the Apple Context Machine Facebook group. And joining me today from the fires of Colorado is my very dear friend, Jeff Smokey Gamut.
That's right, kids. Remember, only you can prevent forest fires.
Yeah, except for in times of heat. It's hard.
Yeah, well, okay. To be fair, sometimes you need fire crews, and sometimes you need slummers and the big water bucket choppers.
Yeah. Although technically but that's not preventing the forest fires. That's actually putting them out.
It's preventing them from spreading.
Yeah, preventing them from spreading. Right. So speaking of spreading, Molecule is my sponsor today. I'm going to tell you all about them and how to save some money off your first order later in the show. But this is Apple Media Event Week, Jeff.
Really? Oh, yeah. Right. Yes, it's Apple Media Event Week. Yes. Right.
Did you watch it?
I did. Actually, not only did I watch it, but I went. I guess what for me is now old school, and I did live coverage with British Tech Network.
Oh, so fun! Wow.
But it's different from the awesome live coverage that you and the rest of the TMO crew do, because this is more like a bunch of pals sitting around talking smack about what's happening on But we also did say some intelligent things.
Was
maybe
it Mystery
one or two.
Science 3000 style, or was it written?
It was more MSTK style.
Like, were you speaking?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, I see. So you were talking over the event.
We talked over the event.
Huh.
Which I'm sure is not annoying on any level.
Yeah. It's interesting. It's interesting.
But people tune in live and enjoyed the live coverage. So yes, I actually did watch the event and reacted to it for the world in real time.
All right, Ichabod right now is currently looking at the space heater that I've got next to my desk with doing the dog head tilt thing. I don't know what's going on. He may join us for the show later, by the way. You may end up hearing him.
Isn't it great having an office manager?
It is great having an office manager. He is very helpful, as all dogs are helpful.
Yes. Yeah, I miss my office manager even still.
Yeah, I know, man.
I know. Nightshade was the bomb.
Yeah, she was a good office manager too. All right, well, let's talk about new Macs and the M1 processor. What do you say?
Okay, sounds great to me. Can I start by saying that John Martellaro, he's brilliant, and I loved his thoughts on the M1.
Excellent. Yes, he is. And that was a great piece that he put out.
Yeah, it really was. So nicely done. I believe he earned his paycheck for this month. You do pay him now, right?
Yes.
Yeah, you awkward.
Know, we've
I know everyone gets paid at TMO.
We have a long history of actually paying people.
Which is awesome.
Yeah, it's fun, you know. Hopefully we can fix that in the future, but, you know. Wait, what?
Yeah, well, the problem is you let the genie out of the bottle by giving people money.
Yeah, it's completely true. All right, seriously, though, Max, M1 processor. Mm-hmm. Apple Silicon's finally here. And what did you think?
I was impressed what they were showing. At the same time, I wasn't surprised. And I say that because we've already seen what Apple is doing with their ARM processors. And, you know, the iPad Pro was basically the genesis, as far as the technology platform goes, for these new Macs. So, so I wasn't surprised from that aspect. But the stuff that they were showing, that they're doing with the M1, and the reports that have been coming out since, where the benchmarks are showing that this M1 processor is just like insane. Like,
yeah,
it outperforms my 16-inch top of the line 2019 MacBook Pro.
Yeah, which is
on a MacBook Air,
pretty crazy, and should kill sales of the 16-inch MacBook Pro, in my opinion.
Yes, in certain markets. There are a lot of people, I think, that need the 16-inch form factor, even though that M1 processor is just like crazy fast.
Well, that's so true. That's true. If you're in the market right now for the 16-inch MacBook Pro, you should wait for the M1 or M2 version of that.
Yeah, I agree. Now, I've always told people, you buy as much computer as you can afford when you need to get a new computer.
Yep.
And if you're in a position where you just want a new computer but can wait, and you need the 16-inch, this actually is a good time to wait.
Yeah.
But if you need a brand new top of the line Mac today, and you want the latest, then you get a loaded 13-inch Silicon MacBook Pro.
Yeah, probably. That is probably the way to do it. My concerns about the M1 currently are the RAM limitations, but the RAM
with you
architecture may make that a concern better suited for previous generations of technology.
I agree. And at the same time, I want to see this in action to make a final decision. Yeah. And the reason I say that is because when I look at iPad and the way they do memory management, it's really great because they can do so much with a smaller RAM footprint. But when you look at the way we use Macs, that changes. So I'm not convinced yet that Apple has that totally nailed down for the Mac. Because on an iPhone and an iPad, it's one application at a time, and everything else is in the background and is essentially shut down while the foreground app does its thing. And that's not how we use Macs. So we'll see. But I'm cautiously optimistic.
Yeah, I am too. Dave's always talking about how eight gigs is enough.
Dave Hamilton. Yes.
And I
agree with him on iOS. It's
Definitely for iOS. Yeah, completely for iOS, the way iOS works. But I'm telling you, on my iMac, I've got 64 gigs of RAM, and I end up getting page outs and page ins. I forget which one is the bad one, all the time. Like right now, Safari is only using 5.34 gigs of RAM. I've actually had Safari spike up to like 15 gigs of RAM. And it's because I've got a crap ton of windows and tabs open. It's the way I'm using it.
But web browsers are also notorious for just gobbling up all the RAM that they can.
Yeah, and I've usually got Chrome open at the same time, and Chrome is gobbling up RAM left and right. And I've had some things come to a screeching halt, even on this device with 64 gigs of RAM. So, I don't know. 16 is the maximum for the M1 currently. I don't actually expect that to change. And I whether or not that's enough, the thing that could end up making that work is the fact that the RAM is in the M1 itself.
Right.
It's a, yep. it's a system on a chip, and Apple said, and they kind of glossed over it, and I don't have a firm enough grasp on the tech to know for sure, but what Apple was saying is that the way they're including that means that it ends up being faster and doesn't have to go through a layer between the CPU and the RAM itself.
Which by makes the way, sense
right that now, they would do that. Right now is the time for Mr. Moose to apparently have his spine broken directly under my desk vigorously.
See, this is nature in action, the circle of life. Hakuna Matata, my friend.
I apologize for the noise.
Yeah, well, you know, an office manager, they have tight schedules, and yes. And that doesn't include the you know the silly things that us humans do, like record shows.
Can you hear this?
Oh yeah.
Okay, that's great. That's fantastic.
It's awesome. You go get him, Ichabod.
Oh my god!
You show Mr. Moose who's the boss.
He is. Yeah. Very, very vigorous. Now, before it was time to snap Mr. Moose's spine, it was time to pick up the densest, loudest hard toy and carry that underneath my desk and then pick it up and drop it and pick it up and drop it and pick it up and drop it.
Oh, see, I thought you were just having leg spasms.
No, that was Ichabod with a toy. So yeah. Anyway, funny how that works. I'm going to finish recording, and he's going to take a nap. He's going to be tired. He's going to be tuckered out.
Oh yeah, because well, Brian, to be fair, recording is hard work.
It is. So I was saying mm-hmm. that Apple is saying that the way they're doing this RAM for the M1 makes it faster, and it is possible that's what I meant by saying that. It's possible.
Yeah, page in and page out may not matter that much now.
Right. Right. So it'll be interesting to see how that works in the real world for sure.
Yeah. And I have a feeling, because it's just Apple's way, that they'll be watching closely what happens with this first wave of Silicon Macs that come out. And then they'll make adjustments to their architecture accordingly, because as always, we buy Apple's latest and greatest, and we pay pay in part with money, but also by being beta testers, whether we want to or not. And I'm not saying that in a bad way, at least this time, because I don't think it's going to be a big problem, because we've been beta testing Macs running this architecture for a while anyhow, in the form of the the iPad Pro. So it'll be really interesting to see what happens. And I know Dave ordered a new Mac, right?
Dave did, yes.
Yeah, that's right. He ordered a MacBook Air. And I'm really interested to see what he thinks of that after it shows up.
Yeah, likewise. We were talking about this in the meeting this morning. If I was currently traveling or able to, what's it called? Leave the house.
Wait, how do you spell that? I need to look it up.
Hawse.
Oh, that's one of those other words that I don't understand. Side.
Exactly. I'm kidding. Of course we can leave the house. I am sure that we're heading back to, or we, at the very least, we probably should be heading back to the lockdowns as coronavirus surges completely out of control, but I'm certainly not working out of the house. I'm not going down to a coffee shop.
Right.
I'm not taking a weekend trip. I'm not going back to Texas to visit family, which means I'm sitting here at my desk working on my iMac. So I would otherwise be in the market for probably the 13-inch MacBook Pro.
Yeah, I can see that. Yeah.
But as it is, I don't see. I don't need an outdoor. I don't need an away from my desk computer right now. I just don't.
Yeah. Now I'm not in the market for a new computer right now because I have my my 16-inch MacBook Pro, which meets all of my computing needs.
Right. And despite the fact that the M1 is faster, that does not in any way whatsoever take away from the fact that your 16-inch MacBook Pro is in fact fast enough and awesome enough to do everything you need to do. We should
make that point clear. Yeah, my 16-inch MacBook Pro is still a killer machine, even though the M1 processors are landing in people's laps in the next, starting tomorrow? Is that right? On Friday?
Is it next week or tomorrow?
I can't remember. I know that the HomePod Mini is the beginning of next week. And there's so much stuff coming out all at once. Yeah, it's hard to keep track.
iPhone 12 Pro Max and iPhone 12 Mini ships tomorrow. I think that these M1 Max ship next week.
Okay, so they start arriving like Monday and Tuesday, probably. Are they arriving after HomePod Mini start showing up?
I think Apple's promise for they'll arrive on the 17th, Tuesday the 17th.
Okay, so they start arriving basically at the same time.
Yeah.
Okay. Great. Yeah. You know, for me, the decision when it comes to getting a Silicon Mac, when that time comes, like if I want it as just a portable machine, I'll have to like really seriously sit down and look at, do I need a portable, like a lightweight portable Silicon Mac, or do I need a new iPad Pro? And the answer to that today is I don't know. So we'll see when that day comes.
Yeah, because that won't be anytime soon for you, right?
No, so I mean
how these devices could evolve, could take. I mean, like it is notable. All right, let me back up. I think it was Dave that said the MacBook Pro and the MacBook Air are essentially iPads with keyboards in a different operating system.
Yes, I agree completely. And I've been telling people, look, if you really want an iPad Pro with a keyboard, the new MacBook Air is what you want to look at.
Well, but maybe because what the new MacBook Air and MacBook Pro don't have is a touchscreen.
That's true.
And you can't detach. I don't know that that's always great advice, man, because you can't detach the keyboard. And with an iPad Pro and a keyboard, you can in fact use it as just an iPad.
That's true. All right. So I need to qualify that. The people that I have told that to, because I always ask people, how are you going to use your device?
Yeah.
Just giving people a knee jerk by this thing is a bad thing to do.
Sure.
It's all people that are going to be sitting with the iPad in front of them and using a keyboard all the time. And so they're saying, do I get an iPad Pro and the new iPad Magic keyboard case, or do I get a computer? And for those people, I think that getting the new MacBook Air would meet their needs.
Yeah. If they're never going to use it without a keyboard, Yeah, don't get the iPad.
Right. Yeah, and it's cheaper to get the MacBook Air than an iPad Pro with the Magic Keyboard.
Yes. Okay, Jeff, let me stop right there, and let's take a second and talk about Molecule, our sponsor, my sponsor this week. Let's see here. Molecule, I love Molecule. They make air purifiers. I've got two in my home. I bought them when fires were getting really bad, 2.5 years ago here in California, and I have been very, very happy to have them since. And they've been a sponsor of the show off and on frequently since then, and I am super excited about that. So let me tell you about Molecule. So the thing about Molecule is that it destroys airborne pollutants on a molecular level. How? How? Science! Developed over 20 years by the director of the Clean Energy Research Center at the University of South Florida, Molecule's patented photoelectrochemical oxidation, that's PECO, technology is scientifically proven to break down pollutants to their safer molecular components without producing ozone. That's a known lung irritant. Instead of just collecting pollutants like a lot of other air purifiers, Molecule air purifiers destroy them. Viruses, mold, allergens, bacteria, and chemicals like VOCs, they get destroyed by Molecule's PECO process. In fact, PECO destroys pollutants 1,000 times smaller than the HEPA standard tests for. Huh? How's that? Like I said, I've had two of these in my home. I bought them. I love having them in my home. When air pollution is really bad outside, I do not notice it in my house at all, and I am very, very thankful for that. I've loved having these things in my home for a couple of years now. And you can get 10% off of your first air purifier order. All you have to do is go to molecule.com. Now that's molekule.com. And when you get to the checkout process, enter code ACM. It's going to get 10% off your first air purifier order. I love these devices. Can't recommend them enough. Hope you check them out and definitely show them some love. And all right, Jeff. Right. So do you remember how Apple essentially overnight changed the terms on which it was competing? And I'm talking about the iMac, which essentially overnight took Apple from competing with the rest of the PC world based on the rest of the PC world's terms, which was price and performance. Price and megahertz, really. Megahertz more than performance per se. And overnight turned Apple into a computer company that was competing on lifestyle, style, and experience.
Yeah, that was a big shift for Apple at the time. And and also a clear sign that Steve Jobs was back.
Well, right. And I mean, the deal was that Apple was going to lose the price performance battle because Apple had to pay for the R&D of its own software, and the PC world did not. Mm-hmm. Right, the PC hardware world, you know, there was once a period when the PC hardware world put development dollars, R&D dollars, into coming up with new consumer technologies, and at the very least, ways of implementing existing technologies in new ways. And then Dell essentially stopped that. Dell spent a lot of money on R&D, but it was all on, and you heard me say this a million times, Jeff, it was all dollars spent to figure out how to make a computer with one less screw. Mm-hmm. It's all about manufacturing cost. And you know, and the funny thing today is, of course, that Dell, like every other PC company, no longer makes its PCs here. They outsource that to Asia, just like everybody else. So, you know, a little bit. And Apple was never going to win that game. They were never going to be able to be cheaper than the PC world, ever, ever, ever. And so, you know, boom, overnight, Steve Jobs changes the terms on which it was competing. And to me, it's been what, 21 years, 22 years since that happened. And it's surprising to me that doesn't, I'm the one that talks about that. No one ever talks about that. It's one of the most stunning business achievements in the history of business in the United States of America, at the very least, probably the world. And they don't get that credit. They just made it so easy and so natural looking that like no one ever talks about it. And we just saw the same thing today, or sorry, Tuesday, where, I mean, right, what is the speed of the M1 processor?
That's an excellent question.
I know the answer, but I know the answer because I happened to see an article based on, like, you know, ferreting the information out of, like, Geekbench reports.
Yeah, well, and that's very telling right there. You couldn't just go and look at Apple's spec page and get that number. You had to do research and find where someone else actually had to do research and tests to infer what the megahertz is.
Yeah, well, let me see where this tech specs page. I forgot to look there. No,
I don't think it says it.
It's a chip, Apple M1 chip, and it tells you how many cores you get. Tells you how many GPU cores you get, and how many neural engine cores you get. Does not say anything about speed.
Right.
And I knew that was the case from the ordering page, but it's the case on the tech spec page too. And the PC, like, you know, as much as Intel and to a lesser extent AMD have stalled on the megahertz or gigahertz front, what it was still talked about, even on Apple's page, if you're ordering an Intel Mac, even now, you will be told how fast the processor is and have the option of paying more for a faster processor.
Now, with the Intel processors, though, that's actually an important differentiating piece of information for the computers you're buying.
Yes.
It does need to be there for the Intel processors.
Well, one could argue that it needs to be there for the M1 processor. One could say that Apple should tell us this because, you know, think down the road when it's probably the M2, but it could be the M1.1. But it won't be. Mm-hmm. It'll be the M2 and the M3.
The M1X or whatever.
Yeah, right. Yeah, there'll be a letter designator difference just like there is on the iPad and iPhone. Or, you know, Bionic. What's the current one? A14 Bionic?
Is it Bionic? I can't even remember now.
Yeah, A14 Bionic is what's in the... fourth generation iPad as well as the iPhone 12 mini. Yeah, the iPhone 12 line. Okay. So one could argue that Apple should give us a choice. Or maybe one could even argue that Apple should give us a choice when ordering a MacBook Air with an M1. Do you want to pay X amount for the M1 at 3.2 gigahertz, which, by the way, is the speed of this thing? And then do you want to pay $100 more for the M1 at 3.3 gigahertz or, you know, whatever? One could argue that Apple could and should do that, but at least at this point, Apple just sort of took that out of the equation, the marketing equation.
You know, yeah, I get it. It's easy to argue that Apple should do that or could do that, but at the same time, they have never done that with their own processors. I mean, how fast is a processor in your last iPhone versus your new iPhone or in the different iPads you have? Yeah. You might be able to tell me which processor each one of those has. And because one of them has a higher number or an extra letter compared to another, that one must be the faster, a more powerful version.
Right. And Apple is going that same route. I suspect, but don't know, that the 16-inch MacBook Pro that gets updated probably in the first half of this next year has
an M2. With you. Yep. I think you're right.
And that the iMac will come out, the iMac 5K will come out with, or you know, whatever Apple ends up calling it, will have the M2.
Yeah, and Apple may call it something else, like the M1X or whatever. But yes, the M2. I'm with you. That's what's going to be in the next round of computers that Apple releases.
Right, and that so that the M1, for at least for the foreseeable future, that'll be the entry level system on a chip, CPU. It's actually more than a CPU. It is a system on a chip because it's got the integrated GPU. It's got the integrated neural engine, and it has the integrated RAM too.
Right. Yep.
So, which begs... So, okay. One thing that I am very curious about is how Apple approaches the Mac Pro. Do you agree, by the way, that the iMac Pro is one and done?
Oh yeah, I was hoping it would carry on for just because it's such a cool computer. Mm-hmm. But yeah, in retrospect, it was a one-off. It was a stopgap computer, and it's gone.
But it is still available.
Yeah. Okay. Then let me rephrase the way I said that, because you are correct. It's gone from Apple's roadmap. It's still available, but there won't be new versions.
And the really cool thing is that you can still pay the 2.5-year-old price for it. That's great. That's fantastic.
Well, I would be surprised if it was otherwise. I mean, look at how long you could pay full price for a Mac Pro trash can before the new Mac Pros came out.
Right. So here's the question: in terms of the M processor for the Mac Pro, I believe that Apple needs to sell the Mac Pro with the option of adding a crap ton of RAM. So not just have system on a chip RAM. So how will that M processor look? And you know, will that be the M3? Will that be the M2X? Will that be the, you know, M2 super baller powerful thing? And will you be able to add RAM to it, to the machine? We don't know the answer.
Wow, that's a really good question. I would like to think you'd be able to add more RAM to a Silicon Mac Pro.
Well, I would like to be able to add more RAM to an iMac, to an ordinary iMac, you know, 5K or again whatever Apple ends up calling that.
Yeah, well, yeah, there was a time when you could add more RAM to a Mac Mini.
That's true. And that time was Monday.
That time was Monday, yes.
Is the other Mac Mini still available? Choose your Mac Mini. M1. You can still get a Intel Mac Mini, and you can choose between 8, 16, 32, and 64 gigs. So yeah, okay. That time is still today, apparently.
Oh, all right. Well, those days are numbered.
Yeah, those days are numbered. So how is Apple going to do that? How is Apple going to approach the 16-inch MacBook Pro is certainly beloved by creative professionals, right? Mm-hmm. And it is certainly beloved. Listen, what Apple showed us that you can do with the 13-inch MacBook Pro with the M1 is pretty incredible when it comes to Logic and Final Cut Pro. Sorry, Logic Pro X. or logic protein. Or do they call it Exerton? I don't know that I've ever heard Apple say it.
I have never heard Apple say it.
Final. Anyway.
What would you like it to be?
I would like it to be X, but that's probably
not. Anyway, so spake Brian, so shall it be.
Logic Final Cut Pro X. And Final Cut Pro. Right? What Apple showed us that you can do with these things, with both of those software packages on the MacBook Pro, 13-inch MacBook Pro with an M1 processor is honestly pretty incredible. But when it comes to processing power, especially in the video, there is no foreseeable time in which faster won't be better. Faster rendering time, faster processing time, faster effects time, right?
That actually brings up something I'm really concerned about with the Pro Max.
Okay.
Down the road. The Silicon Max, you know, you can't use an external GPU with them.
You can't with the M1.
Right. So is Apple, so is that just a thing? Apple no longer is going to support
Wait a minute.
Third-party GPUs?
Do we know that they can't, or do we simply know that Apple is shipping the current M1 devices without discrete GPUs?
What we know is that on Apple's page where they list available accessories that are compatible with the new computers, external GPUs have been removed from the list. So you can't buy any GPU box and plug it into one of these new computers and use it.
To one of these new M1 Macs, but you can still do it with the Intel Macs. Now,
correct.
But what we don't know is that there are a lot of factors there. One, that could be for now, even with the M1, right? At release, you can't do that, but it's possible that a future update to, you know, Big Sur or whatever replaces Big Sur could possibly add support for external GPUs, even on the M1. That's possible. Mm-hmm. We don't, I mean, I'm not saying that it's going to happen. I'm saying right. With all available information that we have, which is scant, that it's possible.
Yes, you're right. It's totally possible. And at the same time, this is a concern that I have because we don't know what's going to happen. And I could see where if Apple doesn't allow third-party GPU support on its M-series chips, that could be a problem for pro users.
Pro video users in particular.
Pro video users, yes.
And it is also possible that the M2 or M1X, you know, whatever, that another version of an M processor could support external GPUs, and including discrete GPUs that are internal. Because currently, that's not an option either.
Right. And with the systems that we have today, you can add external displays. I believe it's up to two. So what does that do for people that have like John Keat, where he basically uses a video wall to do everything on his computer? He can't do video wall spreadsheets or email or text messages or whatever it is that he needs to do that day with a Silicon Mac.
Is the word need appropriate when we're talking about John Keat?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay. All right. Fair enough. Within the context of John world. Yeah. Okay. Right. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So what's going to happen?
I don't know. I don't know. Apple put so much emphasis on the ability to use things like its own what's the Mac Pro module called, the video?
Oh yeah, the big box fan that has a video plug on it. That's funny. I can totally picture it in my head, and I cannot think of the name. But my description is correct. It's essentially a box fan that has video ports on it.
The one that does processing.
Oh, I was thinking of their extra video card thing.
Yeah, that thing.
Yeah, we're talking about the same thing then. Okay, I can't remember what it's called.
What is? Oh my God, it's so embarrassing. I wish.
I know I have an excuse. You don't.
I don't have an excuse. So anyway, Apple put enough emphasis on that, and they knew that these M processors were coming. What I suspect is that the Pro version, even the first Pro version of the M processor line, will probably support discrete GPUs and probably support external GPUs too.
I hope so. And that could be something they use as a differentiating factor between their entry-level and pro-level computers.
Yes. And that'll be just fine. I mean, like, the MacBook Air doesn't need to support a discrete GPU, and it doesn't need to support an external GPU, in my opinion.
Right, and it can drive a 6K display? Is that right?
Well, yeah, but did you catch that it will not drive a 6K display. Apple said that the MacBook Air would drive the Apple's own Pro Display XDR.
Okay.
And then they said that the 13-inch MacBook Pro will drive the Pro Display XDR in full 6K.
Okay, that's right? What I was thinking. I was conflating the two. Yep.
Very, very clever what they did there. So I'm guessing that it will drive the Pro Display XDR in like probably 5K mode or 4K. I don't have the Pro Display XDR, so I'm not sure.
Still, what it does. I mean, even if it's only 4K, that's still pretty nice resolution.
Yeah, for sure. Oh, yeah. And it is impressive that this system on a chip can drive that. Usually you need something like a discrete GPU to drive something like that. So what Apple's done with the M1 is freaking amazing.
Yeah, it is. I mean, despite the concerns that I have, holy crap, this is an amazing processor and a powerful statement for the first Mac processor that Apple has designed in-house. Yeah. I mean, that's a crazy awesome chip.
Yeah.
Well, system on chip.
Yeah. Right, so I think where we both are was really curious to see what the next step is like. I was very curious to see what the first devices were going to look like and was frankly blown away by the M1. The M1 vastly surpassed all of my expectations. Actually, I should say that the combination of M1 and Big Sur with Rosetta 2 has vastly exceeded my expectations.
Same. I was expecting entry-level computers, MacBook Air and a Mac Mini, that had performance that was similar to the previous or the Intel MacBook Air and Mac Minis, but not something that was just leaps and bounds beyond.
Yeah, leaps and bounds. And then it's a 5-nanometer processor, man. It's 5 freaking nanometers.
Yeah, we're getting pretty close to the point where they can't make the builds any smaller because they're running into limitations of physics, meaning atoms have a certain size and you can't go smaller than that.
Right. I mean, I actually quite frankly think time-wise that when we hit that wall, that quantum processors will be ready enough to actually be usable mainstream, for what that's worth.
That would be very cool.
And a quantum processor, one of its big
I like things, to think of them as binary-ish.
Well, it's four states. There are four states.
Right. Yeah, so it's ish.
Yeah, well, it's not. It's like quad. It's four.
Yes, but think how easy it is to say binary-ish and how cute and clever it sounds.
Fair enough. A bit would be called a qubit, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
Q-U-B-I-T. It's funny, while writing my novel, and this is going back several years, I at one point had one of the characters trying to basically, like, the character was about to say I could flip a coin as well as anyone else. Mm-hmm. And it's like, well, in that world, in this future, flipping a coin, that would have no relevance. And so I ended up the character ended up saying I can spin a qubit as well as anyone else, for what that's worth.
See, that's really clever.
Yeah, I don't know, maybe. We have tons of anachronisms.
Take the compliment, because it's true.
Thanks. There are tons of anachronisms that really have no relevance to us that are still actually in our conversation today. So it's possible that flipping a coin could still be a thing. Eagles to Bagels says that it's possible. So anyway, the M1 vastly exceeded my expectations, and now I wonder what time is being spent on wondering just how the M2, or being like how Apple is going to integrate these with Pro machines. And is Apple going to make the decision to cut us off from discrete GPUs? That seems crazy. But at the same time, Apple's GPUs on their systems on a chip is pretty darn, they're pretty darn good.
Yeah, the place where even if Apple's own GPU technology is sufficient for what pros need, the place where I see a potential problem is making sure that they have enough ports to be able to plug in enough displays.
Yeah.
And of course, while I'm saying I'm concerned about this, whatever it is that Apple's going to release as the Pro processor is running in their labs already, and was running in their labs before they did the M1 launch event this week.
Correct. And was probably running in some degree or another even when they shipped the Mac Pro.
Right? Oh, yeah. So it's a safe bet that Apple is or has been doing with their Silicon Macs exactly what they did with the Intel Macs. And for some time, they have been running everything they do on Intel Macs and then Silicon Macs in their labs at the same time.
Is it Nitro? It's not Nitro.
Yeah, I don't remember.
It's not Nitro. Sorry. Yeah, that's really interesting, Jeff. Yeah. All right, listen, we have a couple minutes. We've uh-huh. sort of dipped into Big Sur territory.
Mm-hmm.
Are you like how there was once upon a time when you were usually the first person on the TMO staff who had a new OS installed.
Mm-hmm.
And that was, to be honest, that was usually only because I procrastinate so much. It wasn't like because I was it wasn't because I was deliberately waiting.
Yeah, well, sometimes that worked out in your benefit.
Yeah.
So you want to know what I'm going to do, don't you?
I do with your current. You're not necessarily. I mean, you're still all over the podcast circuit.
Mm-hmm.
So, there, you know, you could say that it is part of your unpaid job to be using the latest and greatest, but you're not writing about it. So yeah, what are you going to do with Big Sur? Because that's coming. Actually, that came out while we were recording this.
For those sweet.
For those keeping score at home.
Yeah, I'm looking at the clock, and yes, that makes sense that it would have come out while we're recording. All right, so I did exactly what I have done with every new macOS release for the past several years. And on the first day that developer beta 1 was available, I put it on an external SSD so that I could start testing it in a safe environment. So I've been running, not as my daily driver, but I've been running Big Sur since it was released at WWDC for developers.
Oh, okay.
And so where we are today, I know exactly how this is going to play out. I have told myself that for my actual production stuff, I should wait and install Big Sur after we've seen how it's performing in the real world for other people. The reality is that when I'm done recording shows today, so sometime later this afternoon or this evening, I'm going to end up installing Big Sur because I've tested enough of the stuff that I use in Big Sur to know that I'm not going to be completely screwed when I upgrade, because I don't want to have the problem of I have an app that I rely on and it suddenly doesn't work. And that's actually not going to be a problem for me. So I know what's going to happen. Unless the servers are completely choked, later on today, I will install Big Sur.
Well, I said that it was available. The press release went out, and I know that some people are seeing it, but I know that I am not. Oh, and boom, as funny enough, there it is.
There and we go. Let's see if it's available in Colorado.
It's 11:01.
Not yet. Right?
Version number.
Yes. FYI. Yes. 11:01 is that's what I got as the latest release candidate. What was it, 2 days ago?
Okay, so right.
11:01 was going to be the official first release.
And my download for an iMac 5K is 12.18 gigs, which is just crazy, especially since I have a really, really crappy AT&T internet connection. That's going to, that might be an overnight thing.
Yeah, this is a big download, and the whole update process, at least with the developer betas, it's been one of those things that when I want to do the update to whatever the latest build is, I get everything going, and then I go do other things for a long time. You know, like make dinner, work on stuff on my iPad Pro instead, watch a movie, because it's not a fast process. There's right. A lot that's happening with this update.
That, yeah, that makes sense. All right. So I guess, do you want to do this again next week and then talk about having used Big Sur for the last week?
Sure. Yeah, let's do it.
And did you order a HomePod Mini?
I did order a HomePod Mini. Yes.
You don't have a HomePod though, is that right?
I do have a HomePod. Okay. When the HomePod came out, I was still working with you, and so I ordered one to have it on launch day.
Right. And I remember this now. This is all making sense.
Yeah. And I ordered the HomePod Mini for launch day because it's $99. And I felt like that was an okay experiment. And that's actually saying a lot for me because my HomePod has essentially become a streaming music device that sounds really nice. And it's also a kitchen timer. I have a couple S-Lady commands that I give it for controlling lights. Actually, I have one. When it's time to go to bed, I tell the HomePod, and it adjusts the lights for me. And that's because it's so much easier to set that up in HomeKit than anywhere else.
Yeah, that makes sense.
But yeah.
Right. I've got a Mini on the way.
So we can talk about HomePod Mini.
I don't know if it'll ship to us, though. Now, what's your shipping date for your Mini?
It's just the standard window that it'll show up somewhere between Tuesday and Friday.
Yeah, okay.
Which tells me the way Apple does this, it'll probably be Tuesday.
Hopefully. I can't find my order for mine, so I have no idea when mine's going to get here. All right, we'll find out. Listen, we both have to go because we have... I've got a meeting and you've got a show to do. So thank you very much for joining me today, Jeff. Actually, hold on.
Holding on.
Top man. Let me quick time. It's not at all distracting.
The great thing is.
Yes.
The great thing is some things never change. No.
And they probably never will. Hey, Jeff, thanks for joining me today. I really appreciate it.
Wow, Brian, this has been absolutely awesome. And I'm glad you asked me to come on because this has been a lot of fun.
Yeah, same. I really enjoyed it. I also want to thank Molekule for sponsoring us. And remember, you can go to molekule.com. It's molekule.com. And at checkout, enter code ACM to get 10% off of your first air purifier order. And with that, Jeff, watch this. Did you see it?
That was amazing, like a pro.